If you love America, you're among friends here. ConservativeNationRadio.org.
You know Dasher and Dancer and Prancer and Vixen, Comet and Cupid and Donner and Blitzen. But do you recall the most famous reindeer of all? Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer had a very shiny nose. And if you ever saw it, you would even say it glows. All of the other reindeers.
Welcome, my friends, to the 6th annual Christmas program brought to you by the New Wise Conservatism Radio Show through ConservativeNationMedia.com. We have been doing this kind of Christmas show now for 6 years, counting this one, and we try to bring you the facts of Christmas along with the story of the birth of Jesus Christ taken from the Bible. We hope you enjoy the music and the show as we stray from our usual format and go from playing bumper music to Christmas music for your enjoyment. So sit back and enjoy the 6th annual New Wise Conservatism Radio's Christmas show. And now, on with the show.
This actually is a lot of fun to do for me, and this year has come and gone so fast that it's hard to believe it is already almost over. It just kind of really blows my mind. The older I get, the faster these years go. But you know, when it comes to Christmas, that time kind of creeps along, just like it always did. And the reason for this, the 6th annual New Wise Conservatism Radio Christmas show, is this: to give you music and information on the traditions of Christmas and things like that, and also the Christmas story. We welcome you to celebrate the birth of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who came to us as a babe in swaddling clothes and was born in a manger, was announced to us by God using a new star that led the three wise men to the manger to honor the Christ child. So we are happy you are here to join us with this, our 6th annual Christmas special filled with music in the Christ story, showing that the atheist sign in New York in Times Square is wrong. I mean, you know, who needs Christ in this season? We do, because Christ is the reason for the season. Sorry, you atheists, because you are wrong on this one. This is Robert the Infidel Garding with this edition of the New Wise Conservatism Radio Show on this, the 21st day of December, 2013. From behind the silver CNN microphone of freedom. Time to enjoy the story, traditions, and music of the season. So let's continue with the acknowledgement of the birth that changed the world some 2,000 plus years ago.
Thank you.
From Matthew 1, starting at verse 18, comes the details of Jesus' birth. The story is well worth listening to also. This is about how the birth of Jesus, the Messiah, came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law, and yet he did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him, and he took Mary home as his wife. But he did not consummate their marriage until she gave birth to a son. Can you imagine being married to someone and not consummating it for that long? And after he was born, he gave him the name Jesus. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him." When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. When he had called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Messiah was to be born. "In Bethlehem in Judea," they replied, "for this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judea, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you will come a ruler who will shepherd my people, Israel." Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search carefully for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me so that I too may go and worship him." After they had heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen when it rose and went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On the coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. When they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh, and having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route. When they had gone, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream. "Get up," he said. "Take the child and his mother and escape to Egypt. Stay there until I tell you, for Herod is going to search for the child to kill him." So he got up, took the child and his mother during the night, and left for Egypt, where he stayed until the death of Herod. And so was fulfilled what the Lord said through the prophet, "Out of Egypt I called my son." When Herod realized that he had been outwitted by the Magi, he was furious and gave orders to kill all the boys in Bethlehem and its vicinity who were 2 years old and under, in accordance with the time he had learned from the Magi. Then what was said through the prophet Jeremiah was fulfilled. "A voice is heard in Ramah, weeping and great mourning, Rachel weeping for her children and refusing to be comforted because they are no more." After Herod died, an angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt and said, "Get up, take the child and his mother, and go to the land of Israel, for those who were trying to take the child's life are now dead." So he got up and took the child and his mother and went to the land of Israel. But when he heard that Archelaus, I guess, A-R-C-H-E-L-A-U-S, was reigning in Judea in place of his father Herod, he was afraid to go there. Having been warned in a dream, he withdrew to the district of Galilee and went and lived in a town called Nazareth. So was fulfilled what was said through the prophets, that he would be called a Nazarene. And this part of the Bible just has always fascinated me, in the things that it says and the things that it shows happen. It actually makes this a very pleasant time of year, I would think. All of us at Conservative Nation Media are proud to bring you our second annual Christmas Eve music and kids extravaganza special on Christmas Eve and Christmas Day, starting at 4 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Central on Christmas Eve. You can listen to hours of great traditional American Christmas music live or download it to listen when you need to be reminded of the true glory and meaning of Christmas. And you can only get it from our website, conservativenationmedia.com. And don't forget to have your kids write Santa a letter from our website or go to santaclaus@conservativenationmedia.com, and Santa will send back a personalized email within 48 hours. I'll bet, you know, I haven't been able to get my kids to do that, but then again, they're a little older, so, but, you know, little kids might enjoy the heck out of that. It might be a lot of fun for them, I would think. So, let's see here. From all of us at Conservative Nation Media, to all of you, the warmest and most joyous Merry Christmas, and thanks for listening. Over the years, the birth of Christ has been held in high regard as the Christmas season that seems to help make most mankind a little kinder to each other during this time of year. Wars even come to a stop during this season with the starting of ceasefires between enemies. I remember Vietnam always had a Christmas ceasefire during the Christmas season, and even though once in a while you heard of the ceasefire being broken, it mostly held true. I have even heard stories of how some of the enemy and American soldiers even shared meals during this time at times. Christmas seems to bring out the best in man, and that to me is a good thing because it shows that humanity still has good to it, even though most days we don't see a lot of that happening. But during Christmas time, it does happen, though sadly I doubt if we will see much of that goodwill from the liberal side of our government this year, and if they do show it, they haven't started showing it yet, and it is so close to Christmas already. Only four more days to go, and our government, and all we've heard from them is how good they are to the people because of what they are supposedly doing for us. Oh, brother, I can't wait to be able to vote a good portion of these idiots out of office. I just hope that the Republican nominee for president isn't someone like John McCain or Mitt Romney, whose time has come. We don't need any more of those. But I digress. I just knew I couldn't keep politics out of this one, even though I try once in a while. But it says, you know, it's one of the things that I enjoy about this time of year is there are people out there that I just normally just have trouble getting along with. But during this time of year, it seems like all that is kind of out the window, and they will say hi to me or I'll say hi to them and they'll respond in kind. And it seems like the whole world is kind of like a better place to live, even if it is only for a week or less. At least we have that time during this time of year, and it happens pretty much every year. And to me, that is a really neat thing to have happen, especially with some of the things that we do here constantly in our barrage of the media handing their stuff to us.
You're listening to Conservative Nation Radio, where we still say Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas.
Hi, I'm LeVar Burton, and I'm proud to be a book person. Every child deserves to have access to books because children who grow up with books invariably do better in life than children who do not. How do I choose a book? Is it the cover? Sometimes it's the cover, sometimes it's the title. I guess I'm pretty visual, so it's a combination of those two. The first book I remember was Captain's Courageous. When I finished that book, I had become so involved with these characters. So here's the thing. If a book's really, really impressing me and the writing is really, really good, I will peek and see what the last paragraph is. Because the endings of books, if it's really, really well done, that ending, that last thought should rock you. I am a book person, and if you're a book person too, read to a child and spark a lifetime of ambition. Join me at bookpeopleunite.org because reading is fundamental. A public service announcement brought to you by Reading is Fundamental, Library of Congress, and the Ad Council.
Been looking for an online gathering place? You know, a familiar screen, does everything you're used to, except give you grief for being a conservative? You gotta try the Tea Party community. At TPC, you'll know how everything works from the very first minute, and you'll probably find a lot of friends who are already there. Organize, communicate, share ideas, upcoming events, pictures, and videos. The Tea Party community connects and empowers like-minded, politically conservative people like you. Sign up today at teapartycommunity.com.
Molon LeBay Challenge Coins and Wares. Similar to challenge coins used by various military units, these MLCCW coins are ideal for anyone that champions the right to keep and bear arms by highlighting the Second Amendment and the Greek phrase Molon LeBay, which translated means come and take them. Come check out our pro-freedom, pro-liberty, and pro-Second Amendment coins and shirts at MLCCW.com. That's MLCCW.com.
Cold down along the beach, and the wind's whipping down the boardwalk. Hey, Dan!
Hey, man!
You guys know what time of year it is?
What time?
What?
Oh, Christmas time!
You guys all been good and practicing real hard?
Yeah?
Clients, you've been rehearsing real hard now. So Santa, bring you a new saxophone, right?
Everybody out there been good?
Or what?
Oh, that's not many. Not many. You guys in trouble out here.
And you better watch out. You better not cry. You better not bow. I'm telling you why. Santa Claus is coming to town.
Santa Claus is coming to town. Santa
No, I was looking at a bunch of things that were kind of interest to me, you know, like traditions of Christmas and where things came from. And my first question was, have you ever wondered just where the Christmas tree came from? It did not originate here in America. Long before the advent of Christianity, plants and trees that remained green all year had a special meaning for people in winter. Just as people today decorate their homes during the festive season with pines, spruce, and fir trees, ancient peoples hung evergreen boughs over their doors and windows in many countries. It was believed that evergreens would keep away witches and ghosts and evil spirits and illnesses, which was kind of something I didn't expect. In the Northern Hemisphere, the shortest day and the longest night of the year falls on today, actually, December 21st or December 22nd, and is called winter solstice. Many ancient people believed that the sun was a god and that winter came every year because the sun god had become sick and weak. They celebrated the solstice because it meant that at last the sun god would begin to get well. Evergreen boughs reminded them of all the green plants that would grow again when the sun god was strong and summer would return. The ancient Egyptians worshipped a god called Ra, who had the head of a hawk and wore the sun as a blazing disc in his crown. At solstice, when Ra began to recover from the illness, the Egyptians filled their homes with green palm rushes, which symbolized for them the triumph of life over death. Early Romans marked the solstice with a feast called Saturnalia in honor of Saturn, the god of agriculture. The Romans knew that the solstice meant that soon farms and orchards would be green and fruitful. To mark the occasion, they decorated their homes and temples with evergreen boughs. In Northern Europe, the mysterious Druids, the priests of ancient Celts, who also decorated their temples with evergreen boughs as a symbol of everlasting life. The fierce Vikings in Scandinavia thought that evergreens were the special plant of the sun god Balder. Germany is credited with starting the Christmas tree tradition, as we now know it, in the 16th century when devout Christians brought decorated trees into their homes. Some built Christmas pyramids of wood and decorated them with evergreens and candles if wood was scarce. It was a widely held belief that Martin Luther, the 16th century Protestant reformer, first added lighted candles to a tree. Walking towards his home one winter evening, composing a sermon, he was awed by the brilliance of stars twinkling amidst the evergreens. To recapture the scene for his family, he erected a tree in the main room and wired its branches with lighted candles. Most 19th century Americans found Christmas trees an oddity. The first record of one being on display was in the 1830s by German settlers of Pennsylvania, although trees had been a tradition in many German homes much earlier. The Pennsylvania German settlements had community trees as early as 1747, but as late as the 1840s, Christmas trees were seen as pagan symbols and not accepted by most Americans. It is not surprising that, like many other festive Christmas customs, the tree was adopted so late in America. To the New England Puritans, Christmas was sacred. Pilgrim's second governor, William Bradford, wrote that he tried hard to stamp out pagan mockery in the observance, penalizing any frivolity. The influential Oliver Cromwell preached against the heathen traditions of Christmas carols, decorated trees, and any joyful expression that desecrated that sacred event. In 1659, the General Court of Massachusetts enacted a law making any observance of December 25th other than a church service a penal offense. People were fined for hanging decorations. That stern solemnity continued until the 19th century, when the influx of German and Irish immigrants undermined the Puritan legacy. In 1846, the popular royals, Queen Victoria and her German prince, Albert, were sketched in an illustrated London News standing with their children around a Christmas tree. Unlike the previous royal family, Victoria was very popular with her subjects, and what was done at court immediately became fashionable, not only in Britain, but with the fashion-conscious East Coast American society. The Christmas tree had arrived. By the 1890s, Christmas ornaments were arriving from Germany, and the Christmas tree popularity was on the rise around the U.S. It was noted that Europeans used small trees about 4 feet in height, while Americans liked their Christmas trees to reach from the floor to the ceiling. The early 20th century saw Americans decorating their trees mainly with homemade ornaments, while German-American sect continued to use apples, nuts, and marzipan cookies. Popcorn joined in after being dyed bright colors and interlaced with berries and nuts. Electricity brought about Christmas lights, making it possible for Christmas trees to glow for days on end. With this, Christmas trees began to appear in town squares across the country, and having a Christmas tree in the home became an American tradition, which, you know, it kind of actually kind of surprises me that America was so late in picking this up, but I guess it really doesn't really surprise me, because America seems to be late on picking up a lot of things. Really surprises me, truthfully, that America, until the 1890s, Christmas ornaments, you know, it took until the 1890s for Christmas ornaments to arrive from Germany to the point where the Christmas tree popularity began to rise around the U.S. And, of course, just like Americans always have, the bigger the better. We had to have the big Christmas trees, so small trees of about 4 feet in height from the Europeans was not used, and Americans liked their Christmas trees to reach from floor to ceiling. That is something that I've always kind of thought was interesting, because we have always been a nation that the bigger things, I guess, you know, bigger cars, bigger houses, bigger trees. So I'm surprised that someone hasn't gone and tried to decorate one of the redwoods in California, though I'm sure someone has probably thought about it. But again, I digress here. I was just noticing that the lady in the show was saying that she's got most of her stuff done for Christmas. I actually finished mine today. I went out earlier this morning, and we've got ourselves a pretty good rainfall going today. A couple of days ago, we had about 6 inches of snow on the ground. Well, that rain has gotten rid of every bit of it now. We've got a brand new river flowing here in Indiana, and it goes right through my yard, and I'm not sure what to call it yet, but maybe the Infidel River or something like that. Just it's something that every time it rains real hard, we get our yard flooded, and today we've got a river flowing through it. So that's pretty good. I kind of enjoy that every once in a while. It's fun to take pictures of as it flows through the yard and know that you can go out, if it was warm, you can go out and wade in it and play in it and things like that. But since it's only about 40 degrees outside, which actually is warmer than it's been in quite a while, but it's still a little too cold to go out and play out in the water. Let's assume that if you're listening to conservativenationradio.org, you're a conservative. You love the media just like we do, and you don't want to get caught short in case the leftist government drops the ball, which they always do, and leaves the country and your family unable to get the basics of life in an emergency. Since that's the case, you're going to want a supply depot to get everything from patriotic gear to survival necessities to outfit and protect you and your family. And your pipeline to those essentials is right here at Conservative Nation Media, conservativenationmedia.com. Just go to our website, conservativenationmedia.com, and click on the Patriot Depot banner. That will take you to the world's best-known warehouse for all your conservative and emergency survival needs. Wave your flag and be ready for whatever the future holds starting right now. Just go to conservativenationmedia.com and click on the Patriot Depot banner and join the conservative revolution, where America always wins. And you are listening to the New Wise Conservatism radio show for this, my sixth annual Christmas show, and I hope that you are enjoying it.
Americans have known Tennessee as the volunteer state since the War of 1812. Now, Tennessee is leading the way in another major conflict, the war to keep America's identity, values, and freedoms intact. Even if you've never walked in Memphis or hiked the Blue Ridge Mountains, if you respect traditional American values, you should know about the Tennessee Action Council. Tennessee Action Council fights to preserve American values, defend our way of life, and protect the U.S. Constitution. This isn't just Tennessee's battle. It affects every American who loves our country and wants to pass the real America, unstained by progressive liberalism, along to future generations. No matter where you are in this magnificent country of ours, Tennessee Action Council is on your side and on America's side. Go to TN4Action.com. That's TN, the number 4, Action.com, to volunteer for Tennessee and America. That's TN, the number 4, Action.com, to stand for America now.
Go, Caleb!
Come on, hit a homer, Jesse!
Go, guys!
Hey, did you guys know that kids who play sports earn more money when they grow up?
Of course. I knew that.
Hey, did you guys know that kids who read books have a bigger vocabulary?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Wow, jinx. Did you guys know that friendly children have more friends?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's true. I knew that. Did you guys know that winter babies are better at music?
Everyone knows that.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. Pretty obvious.
Yeah.
Obvious. Oh, hey, guys. Did you know that most people think they're using the right car seat for their kid, but they're not?
Huh. I didn't know that.
I'm pretty sure I knew that. I'm pretty sure you didn't.
Parents who really know it all know for sure that their child is in the right car seat at the right age and size. Visit safercar.gov/the right seat to make sure your child is protected. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
City sidewalks, busy sidewalks, dressed in holiday style. In the air there's a feeling of Christmas. Children laughing, people passing, meeting smile after smile. And on every street corner you silver bells, silver bells, it's Christmas time in the city. Ring-a-ling, hear them ring, soon it will be Christmas Day.
The main reasons we have the custom of giving and receiving presents at Christmas is to remind us of the presents given to Jesus by the wise men, frankincense, gold, myrrh. Frankincense was a perfume used by Jewish worship, and as a gift, it showed that people would worship Jesus. Gold was associated with kings, and Christians believe that Jesus is the King of Kings. Myrrh was a perfume that was put on dead bodies to make them smell nice, and as a gift, it showed that Jesus would suffer and die.
Christmas itself is really about a big present that God gave the world about 2,000 years ago, Jesus. One of the most famous Bible verses, John 3:16, says, God loved the world so much that he gave his one and only Son, so that whosoever believes in him may not be lost, but have eternal life. All over the world, families and friends give presents to each other. Most children around the world believe in a Christmas gift bringer. It's often St. Nicholas, Santa Claus, or Father Christmas. But in Germany, they believe it is the Christ kind. In Spain, they believe it is the wise men. And in Italy, they believe it is an old lady called Befana. These presents are also left in different places. In most Europe, the presents are left in shoes or boots put out by the children. In Italy and the UK and the USA, presents are left in stockings, often left hanging by the fireplace. In many countries, presents for friends and family may be left under the Christmas tree. In the UK, they are often opened on Christmas Day morning with all the family together. The custom of hanging stockings comes from the story of St. Nicholas. Parent presents are opened on different days over the world as well. The earliest presents are opened is on St. Nicholas Eve on December 5th, when children in Holland of 10 receive their presents. On St. Nicholas Day, 6th of December, children in Belgium, Germany, the Czech Republic, and other European countries open some of their presents. Children in the UK, USA, and many other countries such as Japan open their presents on Christmas Day, December 25th. The latest presents are opened on January 6th, a month after the earliest. This is known as Epiphany and is mainly celebrated in Catholic countries such as Spain and Mexico. One popular way to give presents in groups such as clubs, school classes, workplaces is to have a secret Santa. This is where you pull the name of someone else in the group out of a hat or other container. You may then buy a present for that person. When the presents are given out, often at the Christmas party, each person is given their present, but they have no idea which person in the group bought it for them. I lived in Arizona for a while, and one of the things that happened there was the main church that was down there was the Mormon church. But what they did was they had what they called a secret Santa, but it was somebody who knew of a family's hardship, and they would buy a bunch of things that would help the family, or if their car had broken down, they'd buy some things to help them get the car fixed or something, and then they run up to the door, put them all at the door, knock on the door, and then run away. So you wouldn't know who did it unless you were one of these types who was always looking out the window and just saw something, but that was something that they did down in Arizona. I never did that, but, you know, I know my wife at the time did several times, and her family did it all the time. But it seems like no matter what group of people you are or from wherever you are, there is something about Christmas that brings people together, that gets them to realize that we are all in this together, and that doing nice things for people is a good thing, you know, and it makes me wonder, you know, why we can't do this more often throughout the year. You know, if you like somebody, you can be nice to them whenever you want, but, you know, to be nice to a total stranger is something that you don't hear of happening in your area or wherever you live very often, but you hear of it in the news too, every once in a while, where somebody stops to help somebody. And they had a situation here around Indianapolis this last week where a newlywed couple was heading home, and from one of the snowstorms we had, they had somebody who had driven off the road, who was an older lady, and the guy parked his car back to the side of the road and got out and told his wife to sit there and wait. And he went down to try and help the woman. And they both got out, came up the embankment and got to the side of the road, and both were killed on the side of the road by passing car that wasn't watching what was going on, which was kind of a sad thing, but it shows that people do help others when the need arises, and it's something that does our hearts some good, I think, to see things like this happening, even though this one had a very tragic end. But it does show that people do have a good spot in their heart for other people when they're in trouble. ConservativeNationMedia.com starts off the work week every Monday in a big way. It's Inside Tennessee with Dave Vance. But even if you're not from the volunteer state, the issues that affect Tennessee are spreading out all over America. Dave Vance brings his veterans insight and the most informative guests to Inside Tennessee every Monday, so make sure to check him out. Brought to you by the Tennessee Action Council. Inside Tennessee, Mondays at 8 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Central on ConservativeNationMedia.com, where America always wins. One of the common sights and sounds of Christmas morning is children waking up, running out to the living room where the Christmas tree is standing, turning on the lights, unless you come from a house like mine where once the tree is put up and the lights are turned on, they stay on all the time until you take the tree down, which I never had that until I got married to the lady I'm with now, but she always did it, so I guess that's part of our tradition now. Then you hear kids getting anxious for the parents to wake up so that they can open their presents, and you hear them out in the living room trying to be quiet but knowing that they're trying to make as much noise as they possibly can so they can wake you up so that they can get to opening their presents. Christmas has always been a time of joy for the kids, as they always knew that they would be getting presents and toys. I think a lot of the true meaning of Christmas gets lost in that because the emphasis is on the gift-giving and too little anymore is made about why the season exists in the first place. A week ago on this show, I did a story about a sign that was put up in the heart of Times Square that said, "Who needs Christ during the Christmas season? Nobody." And the word Christ had a giant X over it, and they think that the holiday should be for one thing, folks, and that one thing is not the celebration of Christ's birth. This cannot be done because without Christ there would be no Christmas. He is the reason for the season, and you are doing your children disservice if you do not emphasize this with every Christmas. The liberal left in this country is waging a war against everything that we hold dear, and Christmas is one of those things because everything that has to do with Christianity is being systematically trying to be taken out of the mix. You see places being told to take down Christmas decorations all the time. Seattle had that a couple of years ago in their airport. It is time to fight for your rights and teach your children well. Keep in their minds that Christmas is about the birth of Christ, not what the liberal left in this country would want it to be about. That way you can keep their joy and their knowledge of what the Christmas season is really all about, the birth of their Savior, Jesus Christ, and that is the reason for the gifts that they get too. We will be right back after these messages.
Aren't you glad the so-called fairness doctrine doesn't apply here? If you love America, you're among friends here.
Well, that was wrong.
Unexpected reactions to smart financial decisions brought to you by feedthepig.org.
Well, I finally did it. I improved my credit score.
You're kidding, right?
No.
How are we supposed to be the bad boys of electrosynth pop if you're out there being responsible? The band is about to be discovered. This is our year.
Yeah, you've been saying that for a while now.
You think anyone in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame was worried about their credit score?
I never really thought that.
Of course they weren't. Rock stars aren't supposed to think about that kind of stuff. We're supposed to think about how many guitars we've smashed, write aggressively sensitive power ballads, start questionable fashion trends, tragically break up and blame creative differences.
All right, just... I thought maybe it was time to take control of my finances, you know? Start using a budget. Get out of debt. Set some goals.
A budget? Debt? Set some goals? Listen, I knew that we'd have our creative differences, but I was hoping they'd involve a little more scandal.
When it comes to financial stability, don't get left behind. Get tools and tips for saving at feedthepig.org. This message brought to you by the American Institute of CPAs and the Ad Council.
Adopting a new pet is a rewarding experience. And Shelter Pets make Super Pets. Your new best friend will steal your heart, bring you happiness, and enrich your life for years to come. You can make a difference in the life of an animal. Adopt and bring home a Shelter Pet today. To find out more, visit theshelterpetproject.org. This message has been brought to you by the Humane Society of the United States, Maddie's Fund, and the Ad Council.
Dr. Martin Luther King said, injustice anywhere is a threat to justice everywhere, and the worst injustice imaginable is the wrongful conviction of an innocent person. I'm Sam Thurman, host of A Just Cause Coast to Coast, Tuesdays, 8 p.m. Eastern, 7 Central, on conservativenationmedia.com. We take a look at what happens when innocent people go to jail as a result of bad evidence, wrongful prosecution, and dishonest witnesses. We use real cases of actual Americans who've been wrongfully convicted. A Just Cause Coast to Coast, Tuesdays, 8 Eastern, 7 Central, conservativenationmedia.com.
Rocking around the Christmas tree at the Christmas party hop. Mistletoe hung where you can see every couple tries to stop. Rocking around the Christmas tree, let the Christmas spirit ring.
Brenda Lee, that's who I was trying to think of before in the chat room. No one knows the real birthday of Christmas. No date is given in the Bible, so why do we celebrate it on the 25th of December? The early Christians certainly had many arguments as to when it should be celebrated. Also, the birth of Jesus probably didn't happen in the year 1 AD, but slightly earlier, somewhere between 2 BC and 7 BC. There isn't a 0 AD, and the years go from 1 BC to 1 AD. The first recorded date of Christmas being celebrated on December 25th was in 336 AD during the time of the Roman Emperor Constantine. He was the first Christian Roman Emperor. A few years later, Pope Julius I officially declared that the birth of Jesus would be celebrated on the 25th of December. There are many different traditions and theories as to why Christmas is celebrated on December 25th. A very early Christian tradition said that the day when Mary was told that she would have a very special baby, Jesus, called the Annunciation, was on the March 25th, and it's still celebrated today on the 25th of March. 9 months after the 25th of March is 25th of December. March 25th was also the day some early Christians thought the world had been made. Also, the day that Jesus died when he was an adult. December 25th might have been chosen because of the winter solstice. In the ancient pagan Roman midwinter festivals called Saturnalia, and Dies Natalis Solis Invicti, took place in December around this date, so it was the time when people already celebrated things. Winter solstice is the day where where there is the shortest time between the sun rising and the sun setting. It happens on December 25th or 22nd. To pagans, this meant the winter was over and spring was coming, and they had a festival to celebrate it and worship the sun for winning over the darkness of winter. In Scandinavia and some other parts of Northern Europe, the winter solstice is known as Yule, and this is where we get the Yule logs from. In Eastern Europe, midwinter festival is called Koleda. That's K-O-L-E-D-A. Roman festival of Saturnia took place between December 17th and 23rd and honored the Roman sun god, Saturn. Dies Natalis Solis Invicti means birthday of the unconquered sun and was held on December 25th when the Romans thought that the winter solstice took place, and it was the birthday of the pagan sun god Mithra. In the pagan religion of Mithraism, the holy day was Sunday, and this is where we got that word from. Early Christians might have given this festival a new meaning to celebrate the birth of the Son of God, the unconquered Son. In the Bible, a prophecy about the Jewish Savior, whose Christians believe is Jesus, is called Son of Righteousness, and that's S-U-N. Jewish Festival of Lights, Hanukkah, starts on the 25th of Kislev, the month of the Jewish calendar that occurs at about the same time as December. Hanukkah celebrates when the Jewish people were able to rededicate and worship in their temple in Jerusalem, again following many years of not being allowed to practice their religion. Jesus was a Jew, so this could be another reason that helped the early church choose December 25th for that date of Christmas. Christmas had also been celebrated by early church on January 6th, when they also celebrated the Epiphany, which means a revelation that Jesus was God's son. Epiphany mainly celebrates the visit of the wise men to the baby Jesus, but back then celebrated both things. Jesus's baptism was originally seen as more important than his birth, as this was when he started his ministry, but soon people wanted a separate day to celebrate his birth. Most of the world uses the Gregorian calendar implemented by Pope Gregory VIII in 1582. Before that, the Roman or Julian calendar was used, named after Julius Caesar, of course. The Gregorian calendar is much more accurate than the Roman calendar, which had too many days in the year. When the switch was made, 10 days were lost, so that the day that followed the 4th of October, 1582, was the 15th of October, 1582. In the UK, the change of calendars was made around 1752, the day after the 2nd of September, 1752, was the 14th of September, 1752. Many Orthodox and Coptic churches still use the Julian calendar and so celebrate Christmas on the 7th of January, which is when December 25th would have been on the Julian calendar. And the Arminian Apostolic Church celebrates it on the 6th of January. In some part of the UK, January 6th is still called Old Christmas, as this would have been the day that Christmas would have been celebrated on if the calendar hadn't been changed. Some people didn't want to use the new calendar as they thought it cheated them out of 11 days. Well, it doesn't really do that, but some people think that. Christians believe that Jesus is the light of the world, so the early Christians thought that this was the right time to celebrate the birth of Jesus. They also took over some of the customs from the winter solstice and gave them Christian meanings like holly, mistletoe, and even Christmas carols. St. Augustine was the person who really started Christmas in the UK by introducing Christianity in the 6th century. He came from the countries that used the Roman calendar, so Western countries celebrate Christmas on the 25th of December. People from Britain and Western Europe took Christmas on the 25th of December all over the world. The name Christmas came from the Mass of Christ or Jesus, a Mass service which is sometimes called Communion or Eucharist, is where Christians remember that Jesus died for us and then he came back to life. The Christ Mass service was only one that was allowed to take place after sunset and before sunrise of the next day, so people had it at midnight. So we get the name Christ Mass shortened to Christmas. Makes it rather interesting. Some of these things I found out, I really didn't even know. Let's see here. I'm not exactly sure on that one. It's one or the other, I think, Michelle. But this show today is the only one during the year that I will actually play the whole song when it comes to the songs that I play. I've always kind of enjoyed that because it gives me a little more time to get things set up and ready for myself for the next section. But I think it is an enjoyable format that I use once a year. And we are coming up on the end of the first hour of the show. It kind of went fast today, seems like. Usually, like last week, I struggled on this show, and I'm not exactly sure why. It just, and I listened to it, and it really wasn't that bad. But sitting in here in my studio and doing the show, it just seemed like I was struggling from the moment I came in, because I came in late, until the end of the show. And I was just sure that it was a horrible show. Like I said, I listened to it, which I do to all of my shows, and it seemed to be okay. I was really kind of pleasantly surprised, but I hope that this show is listened to by a lot of people in the archives. I know Lady Michelle is the only one in the chat room, but it seems like a lot of my listeners don't ever hit the chat room because they're on mobile phones or traveling somewhere, and they're listening to me on their phones or their tablets or computers or something like that. So I sort of have fun doing this one once a year. So we will be right back with the second hour of the New Wise Conservatism Radio Show's sixth annual Christmas show, heard here on Conservative Nation Media. And we will be right back. So please stay tuned. And I'm kind of getting to this just a slight little bit early, but that's kind of okay, I guess. Yeah, I'm trying to figure out where the heck I'm supposed to be here. Something's wrong. Okay, there we go. My studio moved a little bit, so we will be right back.
If you love America, you're among friends here. ConservativeNationRadio.org.
So glad we left that stupid party.
No joke.
Hey, baby, are you an overdue library book? Because you got fine written all over you.
Ugh, barf. What about that girl with a hoop earring?
Ridiculous. When she was dancing...
Megan, look out! Look out!
Oh, my God. Becky. Becky, are you okay? My arm. I think it's broken. Can you bend it? It's already bent. In the wrong direction. I can't believe this. I'm so sorry. I only had a few drinks. I was just buzzed.
Really? Just buzzed?
Yeah, I swear.
Well, in that case, my arm is fine. Ah, that's better.
You're really okay? You're serious, Becky?
No, genius. I'm not serious.
Ow! My arm! It hurts!
Buzzed driving. Maybe we should stop acting like it's no big deal. Buzz driving is drunk driving. A public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Department of Transportation, the Ad Council, and this station.
Wow, yeah, since the storm, it's been crazy busy for us. We got all kinds of office desks coming in. Now, here's a fancy one right here. It's missing a leg, but that's all right. Whatever. Washers and dryers from a laundromat. Oh, wow, and check this out. Another deep fryer. And I'm not sure what this doohickey is. Yeah, most businesses weren't ready for a storm like that, you know. But our work's really piling up here at Roberts & Son Salvage.
What will become of your business after a disaster? Nearly two-thirds of businesses aren't prepared for an emergency. And 40% of businesses that experience a disaster never recover. Make an emergency plan now before it's too late. For a free online tool that helps you develop an emergency plan to keep your business up and running should disaster strike, visit ready.gov/business. Brought to you by the Federal Emergency Management Agency, the American Red Cross, and the Ad Council.
I was going to have my second hour show song, which I had set up, and I'm not exactly sure where it is right at the moment because I sure can't find it, but I shall have it shortly, I think, hopefully. And until then, I can continue doing some of the things that I was doing, I suppose. We are still working on doing our part to try and get this show supposed to be. We keep ourselves in the Christmas spirit as much as we can. I finally found it. Here it is.
You know Dasher and Dancer and Prancer and Vixen, Comet and Cupid and Donner and Blitzen, but do you recall the most famous reindeer of all? Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer had a very shiny nose.
Welcome again, my friends, to the 6th Annual Christmas Program, brought to you by the New Wise Conservatism Radio Show through ConservativeNationMedia.com. We have been doing this kind of Christmas show now for 6 years, counting this one, and we try to bring you the facts of Christmas along with the traditions and the things that have brought Christmas to us the way it is today. We hope you enjoy the music and the show as we stray from our usual format and go from playing bumper music to Christmas music for your enjoyment. So sit back and enjoy the second hour of the 6th Annual News Wise Conservatism Radio Show here on CNM. Thank you.
Okay, there's a strong and practical reason why Jesus might not have been born in the winter, but in the spring or the autumn. It can get very cold in the winter, and it's unlikely that the shepherds would have been keeping sheep out in the hills, as those hills get quite a lot of snow sometimes. During the spring in March or April, there's a Jewish festival called Passover. This festival remembers when the Jews had escaped from slavery in Egypt about 1,500 years before Jesus was born. Lots of lambs would have been needed during the Passover festival to be sacrificed in the Temple of Jerusalem. Jews from all over the Roman Empire traveled to Jerusalem for the Passover festival, so it might have been a good time for the Romans to take a census. Mary and Joseph went to Bethlehem for the census. Bethlehem is about 6 miles from Jerusalem. In the autumn, in September or October, there's a Jewish festival of Sukkot, or the Festival of Tabernacles. It's the festival that's mentioned in the most in the Bible. It was when the Jewish people remembered that they depended on God for all that they had, and they escaped from Egypt and spent 40 years in the desert. It also celebrated the end of the harvest. During the festival, people lived outside in temporary shelters. The word tabernacle came from the Latin word meaning booth or hut. Many people who have studied the Bible think that Sukkot would be a likely name for the birth of Jesus, as it might fit in the description of there being no room in the inn. It also would have been a good time to take the Roman census, as many Jews went to Jerusalem for the festival, and they would have brought their own tents, shelters with them. Possibilities for the Star of Bethlehem seems to point either to spring or autumn. So whenever you celebrate Christmas, remember that you're celebrating a real event that happened about 2,000 years ago, that God sent his son into the world as a Christmas present for everyone. As well as Christmas and the solstice, there are other festivals that are held in late December. Hanukkah is celebrated by Jews. The festival of Kwanzaa is celebrated by some Africans, and African Americans takes place from December 26th to January 1st. Okay. Well,
yeah.
Bells will be ringing.
The Christmas holidays are among the most traveled days of the year, with people going to visit families, which of course means that families getting together is a big part of Christmas, which is a good thing. It takes all the aggression and fighting out of the world, most of it anyway, even though it is just for one day. It makes the world a much nicer place to be in as we enjoy the season with family and friends. Songs like the one I just played by the Eagles has been a mainstay of the Christmas holidays, as the urge to travel to see family is that is far away is strong. It probably comes from a time when travel to distant places was not as easy as it is today. Families tended to stay close to each other instead of moving to other parts of the country or the world for that matter. No matter where you go, you always have that yearning to go home for Christmas and to enjoy the time that used to be only for a few days. Enjoy that time with the family. Even though you can never go back to the way it was, I think everyone to an extent thinks back on their favorite Christmases or the time when everyone was happy and did things together for the holidays. This year on the Hallmark Channel, they have been playing Christmas movies since Thanksgiving, and I've watched a lot of those, and some of them are really cute, like one called A Merry Mix-Up Christmas, where two people going home for the Christmas holidays meet, and since the man has a brother with the same name as same name of the lady's fiancé, they think that the brother and the fiancé of the lady are the same man. So he offers to take her to his home, where the brother is supposed to be going, setting up the surprise. But the surprise comes in when they have a car accident and in the process meet the wrong family, which is his. They are loving and nice and accept her immediately. When the real fiancé, who is a businessman who has few scruples, finally gets into the picture, he has been wheeling and dealing, and in the process trying to sell his fiancée's store, which she inherited from her parents, and proceeds to tell her that he wants to do it without her consent after he takes her home to meet his parents, who are not so nice. The end is what you would expect, but I will not tell you, but it ends happy. Christmas time is a time for happy after all, even though there seems to be a lot of sadness during this season, too. And I've met a lot of people. My wife, my second wife, before she died, was one of them that really was not happy at Christmas time. She acted happy, but you could tell that she wasn't. She just wasn't where she wanted to be in life. And that, to me, was always kind of a contention in our lives together because, you know, no matter how hard I tried, I could never get her where she wanted to be in life. And but fun, you know, when we got to be able to go to visit family, you know, whether it be her family or mine, it was always fun to be able to just get in the car and go. And when we lived closer to my dad's my dad's side and my mom's side, because we lived in the same state, whereas if we went to visit hers, we had to get on a plane and go, because we lived in Washington State at the time, in Oregon, and her family lived down in Arizona. So when we did go down to visit her family, it was one of these things where we had to go to the airport and take a flight out and then have one of them meet us there. But it was always fun no matter where we went, and I think that is where the Christmas season usually takes most of us, wherever we go or don't go for that matter. America is still the freest country on earth, and most of us who love America know that the Constitution is the reason for our liberties. ConservativeNationMedia.com isn't going to let those leftists in Washington, D.C. take our freedom away, and our constitutional expert, Matthew Opalisky, is leading the charge. Join Matthew every Thursday night at 10 p.m. Eastern, 9 p.m. Central for the Liberty and Constitution community to learn about our rights and freedoms under the greatest governing document of all time and what you can do to protect your liberty under the Bill of Rights. The Liberty and Constitution community with Matthew Opalisky, Thursdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 9 Central on ConservativeNationMedia.com, where America always wins. Ever wonder where the idea for mistletoe came from? Mistletoe is a plant that grows on willow and apple trees and in garden centers. The tradition of hanging it in the house goes back to the times of ancient druids. It's supposed to possess mystical powers, which bring good luck to the household and wards off the evil spirits. It was also used as a sign of love and friendship in Norse mythology, and that's where the custom of kissing under mistletoe comes from. When the first Christians came to Western Europe, some tried to ban the use of mistletoe as a decoration in churches, but many still continued to use it anyway. York Minster Church in the UK used to hold special mistletoe service in the winter where wrongdoers in the city of York could come and be pardoned. The custom of kissing under the mistletoe comes from England. In the original, custom was that a berry was picked from the sprig of mistletoe before the person could be kissed. And when all the berries had gone, there could be no more kissing. The name mistletoe comes from two Anglo-Saxon words, mistle, which means dung, and tan, which means twig or stick. So you could translate mistletoe as poo on a stick, not exactly romantic. Is it? Mistletoe was also hung on the old English decoration, the kissing bough, which is more romantic. I think we will be right back.
If you're wondering where Rush goes to do his show prep, you found it.
A single ember from a wildfire can travel over a mile. It can ignite and destroy your home and even your community. To that ember, all those branches hanging over your roof might as well be giant matchsticks ready to spark. The pile of dry leaves and twigs clogging your gutters are the perfect kindling to start a fire. And all those debris piles and brush around your yard, which you haven't taken care of yet, are pure lighter fluid, ready to ignite. There are some fire hazards that aren't clearly marked,
and they can impact you and your neighbors. Learn to spot them, because your home is better protected from wildfire damage when your whole community is prepared. Visit fireadapted.org for more tips on how to get started adapting your home and community to wildfires. A public service message brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service and the Ad Council.
When you shop on goatsfortheoldgoat.com, you know exactly where your money is going. That's because goatsfortheoldgoat.com is the only animal group that sends you a photo of your goat with the person who received it. To buy your goat this holiday season, it's easy. Just visit goatsfortheoldgoat.com and click on shop. You can make a donation for a friend, a family member, or even a coworker. And when you do, they'll be able to see it for themselves. Visit goatsfortheoldgoat.com and help fight hunger in South Sudan. Again, that's goatsfortheoldgoat.com.
We waited all through the year for the day to appear when we could be together in harmony. You know,
wonder how Christmas is celebrated around the world? Well, I have, and I found a few that are rather interesting, to say the least. Only 1% of Japanese people believe in Christ. Even so, most Japanese people decorate their stores and homes with evergreens during Christmas. It's pretty much, I think, on the same lines as what I talked about earlier in the show, how evergreens have always been held in high esteem for people during this time of year because they're always green. And it shows that, well, I guess life is still in them, even during the deep of winter. They enjoy giving each other gifts, and this is part the part they celebrate. They have a Buddhist monk named Hotei Osho, who acts like Santa Claus. He brings presents to each house and leaves them for the children. Some think he has eyes in the back of his head, so children try to behave like he is always nearby. Among the Christian Japanese, Christmas is not a day for the family. They do not have turkey or plum pudding. Rather than that, the day is spent doing nice things for others, especially those who are sick in hospitals. Christmas, for those in Sunday schools, is the happiest day of the year. On Christmas Eve or Christmas night, the children put on programs that last for hours. They sing, they recite, and put on a drama of the day Jesus was born in Bethlehem. Most children may not like Hotei Osho, so they may receive their presents from Santa, who goes around with a red-nosed reindeer. In Bangladesh, formerly known as East, Christian village men would cut down scores of banana trees and replant them in pairs along the paths to churches and outside their homes. They would then bend over the huge leaves of the banana trees to form an arch. They would then make small holes in the bamboo poles, fill them with oil, and tie them across the arches. When the oil is lit, the way to the church is lit up bright enough for all to see. In Finland, everybody's house is given a very good clean in readiness for Christmas. Hours are spent in the kitchen cooking and baking special treats for the festive season. Fir trees are felled, tied onto sleds, and taken home to be decorated. A sheaf of grain is often tied to a pole together with nuts and seeds and placed in the garden for the birds. Many of the peasants will not eat their Christmas dinner until the birds have had their dinner. The meal was begun as soon as the first star appeared in the sky. In Finland, the Christmas tree is set up on Christmas Eve. Apples and other fruits, candles, paper flags, cotton, and tinsel are used as decorations, and the candles are used for lighting it. The Christmas festivities are preceded by a visit to the famous steam baths, or the saunas, after which everyone dressed in clean clothes in preparation for the Christmas dinner, which is served at 5 to 7 in the evening. Christmas gifts may be given out before or after dinner. Children do not hang up stockings, but Santa Claus comes in person, often accompanied by as many as half a dozen elves, Christmas elves, to distribute the presents. The main dish of the dinner is boiled codfish, served snowy white and fluffy with allspice, baked potatoes, and cream sauce. The dried cod has been soaked for a week in a lye solution, then in clear water to soften it to the right texture. Also on the menu is roast suckling pig or roasted fresh ham, mashed potatoes, and vegetables. And it sounds like that'd be a place that the Islamists would not want to be at Christmas time. After dinner, children go to bed while older people stay up to chat with visitors and drink coffee until about midnight. Christmas Day services in the churches begin at 6 in the morning. It's a day for family visits and reunions, and in some parts of the country, the Star Boys tour the countryside singing country songs. During all these days, the people keep wishing each other a Merry Yule. In Greenland, there are a lot of visiting families drinking coffee and eating cakes, as well as giving brightly wrapped presents, which might consist of a model sledge, a pair of tusks, or even sealskin knit. Everyone in the village gets a gift, and children go from hut to hut singing songs. Christmas trees are imported and decorated with candles as well as bright ornaments. There is dancing most of the night. After the coffee, cakes, and carols, everyone is given matak, which is whale skin with a strip of blubber inside, and given to everyone. The taste of it is much like coconut, but tough to chew and is usually just swallowed. Another food that is eaten is kivyak, and this one doesn't sound good to me, which consists of raw flesh of an auk, A-W-A-U-K, which has been buried whole in the seal skin for several months until they have reached an advanced stage of decomposition. This is the one night where women are waited on by the men. There are games played, including one in which the object is passed from hand to hand around a long table under cloth. That one sounds like my children wouldn't enjoy that one. But with that, those are some of the traditions and the way that several countries around the world celebrate Christmas. And it was, you notice that even in countries where Christianity is, like in Japan, only 1%, and they still celebrate Christmas every year. And a lot of it has to do with giving gifts and being nice to people. And it's something that always strikes me and comes back to what this time of the year means to everyone. You know, even if you don't believe in Jesus and you don't believe in Christianity and you believe in something else, there's always something there that kind of brings you together and brings the good out in you and makes things better for all of mankind, even though it is just for this season of the year. Neighbors, I think, help in a lot of ways. Ms. Shell was talking about how one day they had a power outage because of a storm or something, and they lost their power for 5 days, and they had trucks come in from all kinds of states, including Indiana, and had neighbors helping neighbors, and I think that is what goodwill really is all about. But on that last bit of food that I had mentioned, she said, yuck, yeah, and that was my first thought. I thought, oh, boy, I'm glad I don't live in Greenland, because I sure would not eat that. Not something that would digest anything like that. And I'm running just a couple of minutes, I think, ahead of where I should be, but that's okay. I think I've kept this one going pretty good. One of the worst nightmares that can befall an American today is identity theft. If that happens to you or your family, it may take months or even longer to recover from it, if you can recover at all. Don't let it happen to you. Protect yourself in advance and sign up today with LifeLock. LifeLock is a lot more than just your standard credit monitoring service. LifeLock helps to protect your personal information using a combination of data surveillance techniques and outstanding member services 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and 365 days a year. There's really nothing that comes close to LifeLock. To protect your identity with LifeLock and get 10% off their great service, go to conservativenationmedia.com and click on the LifeLock banner. Network may not cover all transactions, and the scope may vary. That's conservativenationmedia.com, then click on the LifeLock banner. You'll be very glad that you did.
Whether you're on active duty, a veteran, or just admire American Armed Forces, there's no better place to get the widest variety of militaria than at Highlands Militaria. Highlands Militaria is one of America's premier distributors of Fox tactical gear and outdoor products. Veteran-owned and operated, Highlands Militaria offers new and used uniforms and insignia from World War II, Korea, Vietnam, and today. With an emphasis on airborne and special operations insignia, gear, collectibles, and uniforms. If you need to replace a cherished badge or unit patch, or just want to gear up for your next outdoor adventure, go to Highlands Militaria at stores.ebay.com/Highlands-Militaria. where you'll find the best supply of the military gear you need. Shipping is always free with one-day handling time, and your satisfaction is guaranteed. Highlands Militaria at stores.ebay.com/Highlands-Militaria. And thank you for your service.
Every 20 seconds, another kid drops out of school. If we do nothing, 3.5 million kids won't receive a diploma over the next 4 years. United Way knows that kids who have a caring adult in their life are more likely to make it. And the difference between a dropout and a graduate could be you. Take the pledge to volunteer now at unitedway.org. Brought to you by United Way and the Ad Council.
Hello, I'm Jennifer Meadows, your host on Grit and Grace. Please join us every Tuesday night from 10 to 12 Eastern for an honest look at the top political and cultural issues that are affecting Americans today. That's Grit and Grace for conservative analysis that is smart and entertaining. Tuesdays, 9 to 11 p.m. Central, 10 to 12 Eastern on conservativenationmedia.com.
That one was a nice, soft, gentle version of the first Noel, which I always kind of enjoyed listening to. That was by Trans-Siberian Orchestra. But this next one is from a blog that I found called The Ignorant Fisherman. One of the most favorite sayings and happy thoughts that are spoken frequently by people during Christmas or holiday season is the phrase, peace on earth, goodwill to men. There are bumper stickers, signs, shirts, holiday cards, trinkets, etc. that seek to capitalize and get out this optimistic and positive message. Even liberal secularists who reject biblical Christianity love to quote this phrase and claim it as their own. Sadly, this phrase is totally taken out of the biblical context and is perceived from the subjective, godless, utopian world, conservative and liberal. There is absolutely no way that true peace and perfect harmony can ever be brought about without the eternal established righteousness of Almighty God. Almighty God's whole eternity and physical universe was established based on the eternal righteous person of the triune God. How deceived are we as humans and totally delusional to think that we as Adam's fallen race could establish a perfect world and enter into eternity without the required righteousness that Almighty God demands? We are a smashed and broken egg with absolutely no way of repairing ourselves. 6,000 years of human history testifies to the fact that we are a violent and lawless race with death as our future and destiny and on our way to total destruction. If it had not been for Almighty God's outside intervention holding back the full accumulation of violence of mankind, we would have been extinct a long time ago. Isn't it amazing that as Americans listen to their leaders in Washington, D.C., the media, conservative and liberal, Hollywood and music culture and industry preach utopian ideals unto them, and that the majority of the world sincerely believes that lie from hell, which is if we keep working at peace, like you give peace a chance, that it will one day finally achieve it? My friend, let's wake up and get real. There is no way that a smashed egg can ever again be put perfectly back together, and there is no way that this broken world can ever fix itself. this vain utopian pursuit is the ultimate delusional chasing of the devil's cattle. At the end of this vain delusional chase, the world will tragically finally find out the realities of time and the eternity that they have rejected their whole lives. It will be on that day that these will finally be fully awakened from their self-induced godless hypnotic delusion and will finally fully understand that their lawless self willed existence here in time has led them straight into the slaughterhouse of the eternal divine judgment and the wrath of Almighty God. My dear friend, this is not Almighty God's desire for you to die in your transgressions. He sent his son 2,000 years ago, born of a virgin, so that you might live forever with him and enjoy him in righteous perfection and bliss forevermore. This was Almighty God's grand desire, that the beginning of creation for mankind, not what man has horrifically reaped upon himself. We as a world do not know divine peace, let alone the temporal peace that fallen man can barely manufacture. This season, may we truly, with all our being, want to know, possess, and exercise the wondrous peace of Almighty God, which he has brought to us by the shed blood of his dear Son. As we walk in time, we may seek to enjoy our redemptive benefits, which have been given to us by our Father and Savior, and the heavenly peace of heart that comes with the fact and reality that our sins and trespasses are removed forever. That, my friends, is what peace on earth is all about. Rejoice greatly. A Savior was born and is coming again in great glory to establish his thousand-year reign of peace and righteousness. And a lot of these came from the Bible and passages were given. I just didn't put them. That last one was from Isaiah 2, 1 through 4, 9, 6 through 7, 11, 1 through 9, 32, 1, Jeremiah 23, 5, and there's a whole bunch of them there. But all in all, what we have is the kingdom of heaven is at hand. So, Merry Christmas to us all. This season is all about the birth of Jesus Christ and the reasons that he was sent to us. Christian, I wish everyone a very Merry Christmas, and I hope that you all have a Merry Christmas and also a very productive New Year to come. All of us here at Conservative Nation Media are proud to bring you our second annual Christmas Eve and Kids Extravaganza special on Christmas Eve and also on Christmas Day, starting at 4 p.m. Eastern and 3 p.m. Central on Christmas Eve. You can listen to hours of great traditional American Christmas music live or download it to listen when you need to be reminded of the true glory and meaning of Christmas. You can only get it from our website, conservativenationmedia.com. And don't forget to have your kids write Santa a letter from our website or go to Santa Claus at conservativenationmedia.com, and Santa will send back a personalized email within 48 hours. From all of us at Conservative Nation Media to all of you, the warmest and most joyous Merry Christmas, and thanks again for listening. As the year winds down, it's interesting to see how much the vortex of the Civil War altered and shaped our Christmas traditions and customs. South celebrated Christmas since colonial days, but puritanical New England didn't begin until the early 1800s as new immigrants from Europe began arriving. The Christmas tree may have origins to the Roman Empire, but we acknowledge the Germans for its popularity. The first American Christmas trees were likely in Pennsylvania. In the mid-19th century English magazine, where appeared a sketch of Queen Victoria and her German husband, Prince Albert, the image of them with their family around a Christmas tree, and this brought acceptance of the tree into homes in England and also the United States. Eleanor Curtis Lee, a great-great-granddaughter of Martha Washington, described in 1853 how her family had a Christmas tree on a table at West Point. She was an ex- It was an exciting event for the young girl. Her father, Robert E. Lee, was the superintendent of a prestigious military school. German immigrant Thomas Nast, a skilled artist, created many political cartoons for Harper's Weekly. Eventually, his talent would take aim at New York's politics. Nast also is also credited with the elephant image for the Republican Party. Among his lasting images is the American image of Santa Claus. Nast put Santa on a sleigh, handing out packages to the Union soldiers in the Civil War camp for January 3, 1863 issue of Harper's. It was the first of many Nast Santas. St. Nicholas or Santa goes back centuries, but Nast created the American Santa. That image would remain unchanged until 1931 when Coca-Cola created a 20th century Santa. Southern children were told Santa might not make it through the Union blockade. This reinforced the evil image of the Yankee. One little girl attempted to chart the best way for Santa to avoid the Yankees. After the war, Thomas Nast replaced residents at the North Pole so that no one could use the portly saint for political propaganda as he had during the Civil War. Americans had revived the tradition of caroling as new songs prior to the war became popular. O Little Town of Bethlehem, We Three Kings, and Up on the Housetop. After his son had joined the Union cause and was severely wounded, Henry Wadsworth Longfellow wrote a poem about Christmas and war that years later would be set to music, I Heard the Bells on Christmas Day. Soldiers looked to find ways to enjoy Christmas. Often games of sport were planned. Small Christmas trees were decorated with hardtack and other soldiers' items, and if lucky enough, they might get some special dinner. Still, many had to perform guard duty and other necessary soldierly tasks. Newbury porter Cyrus T. Goodwin of the 59th Massachusetts wrote a City Point wrote from City Point, Virginia on Christmas 1864, for Christmas we had turkey, preserved peaches, and apples. He added, we are going to have oysters for dinner today. We will be right back for the final segment of the show after these messages.
If you love America, you're among friends here.
Hey everybody, Rachel Ray here. Nothing puts a bigger smile on my face than cooking up a big meal for family and friends. But there's not enough room at my table for the 17 million kids in America who are struggling with hunger. These children, that's one out of every five, often have to skip meals because there's just nothing to eat in the kitchen. Yet there's more than enough healthy, nutritious food produced right here in America to feed every last hungry child. If only there was a way to get it to them. That's why the Feeding America nationwide network of food banks collects surplus food to give hope to hungry kids and their families all across our country. But they can't do it without your help. Join me in supporting Feeding America at your local food bank and at feedingamerica.org. Together, we can solve hunger. Together, we're Feeding America.
A message from Feeding America. I'm gonna live and
die in Cowboy Town.
Hey y'all, I'm Kixbrook.
I'm Ronnie Dunn.
And we're Brook.
And Dunn for Rad. And I've got a four-letter word for you. Don't. As in don't drive drunk.
And I got a three-letter word for you as in get. Get the keys.
When you see someone who's about to drive under the influence.
Get the keys.
Because friends don't let friends drive drunk.
A public service message brought to you by the U.S. Department of Transportation, Rad, the National Association of Broadcasters, and the Ad Council.
Hi, I'm Kathy Henners, your host on Daily Roll Call on ConservativeNationMedia.com. Please join me each Friday as we talk about subjects like the Muslim Brotherhood, their goals, their agenda, and how it affects our schools, our law enforcement, and our communities. As a retired police officer, I'll give you an inside look into this issue and so much more. Don't miss it, Fridays, 8 p.m. Eastern, 7 Central, right here on ConservativeNationMedia.com.
Of a white Christmas. Just
just like the ones I used to know, where the treetops glisten and children listen to hear sleigh bells in the snow. I'm dreaming of a white Christmas with every Christmas card I write. May your days be merry.
I think that one is one of my favorite Christmas songs. And finally, here at New Wise Conservatism Radio Show, we want to leave you with our weekly thought for this joyous season. This season seems to bring out the best in everyone. Yes, my friends, even the liberals in ways. It is during this season that many wish goodwill and peace to men, even if during most of the rest of the year they push for making everyone else follow what they believe, no matter what it is. Christmas has a special power that, given the chance, can do wonders for this world. Like the blog post that I read from The Ignorant Fisherman stated, you can't expect a shattered egg to suddenly be fixed. Of course, I am paraphrasing there, but you get the idea. After the Christmas season is over, everything that was suddenly good for a few days will go back to business as usual, and we will again be battered and abused by the ones who do not believe as we do, and we will again be called things that make most cringe. But that is part of the game that is called politics in this country. During Christmas, we can always enjoy the fact that family is always family, and most of the times it is a wonderful thing to experience. Now, I say most of the time because, being humans, we will always have the families that are dysfunctional to the point of being almost evil. And for those people, we can only pray that something will happen to make them functional in a normal and good manner again and bring joy into their world. This year, this show will strive to bring you things that the average person needs to have to fight the onslaught of socialism and communism on this country. But today, we spent the whole day telling you of Christmas, the story of the birth of Jesus Christ, our Savior, who without this world would certainly be a different and more insane place to live in. And I would not like that, because it is insane enough already. It is time for joy and caring and giving on a scale that over the rest of the year is never matched. We are lucky to live in a world where such goodness is possible, even if it is only for a short time, where we can see bitter enemies call ceasefires for the event of Christmas and then sit down and eat a meal together like old friends. even if you don't believe in Jesus Christ. Christmas is a special time of the year for most because it gives us the reprieve from the daily hate and name-calling of normal everyday life that we all experience, whether you be Christian, Muslim, Buddhist, or atheist. Christmas holds a time for you to be happy and good to your fellow man, no matter what your beliefs. Christmas time is a season for goodwill towards men and peace on earth. We here at New Wise Conservatism Radio, my wife and children, wish you a very Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year to come. We hope that this Christmas is a wonderful time for you and your families, no matter what you believe, and we hope you have a wonderful New Year, too. And also to all my friends here at ConservativeNationMedia.com and all my listening friends who follow this show, Merry Christmas. For without you, this show would have no reason to exist. God bless you all. God bless America. And thank you for listening. This is the one show during the year, like I have said, that I completely deviate from anything that I do during the rest of the year. I play, instead of a little bumper music that I record to fade out so I can talk over it and then end, I don't do on my Christmas shows. I play the whole Christmas song. It is what I feel is the essence of what this season is all about. The beautiful music, the happy thoughts, the giving of gifts, the seeing of the children and their joyous eyes and their faces as they open up their presents, and how during that one time a year they will do everything that they can to make sure that they are perceived as good, so that they will be deserving of the presents they get. And even though a lot of times this doesn't happen during the rest of the year, during Christmas time, it becomes kind of like the staple of the American family, where the kids strive to be their best because, like the Japanese children whose Christmas deity is thought to have eyes in the back of his head, children seem to think that the parents have eyes in the back of their head. Of course, some of us tell them that, you know, nothing gets past us. We have eyes in the back of our heads. We can see what you're doing. So the children have a tendency to be better this time of year. Even if they're good all year long, they still have a tendency to want to be better this time of year, which is actually kind of a nice reprieve sometimes. But I am glad that you all listened to this sixth annual Christmas show for us. And now for our lineup here on Conservative Nation Media. On Sunday, we have American by Design with Bing Fisher. With his engineer's insight and love of America, this show could really bring you some great ideas and ideals for what America is and what America should be. This show airs on Sunday evenings at 6 p.m. Eastern, 5 Central. Give our uncle a listen. I think you will agree it is a great show. On Monday, we have Inside Tennessee with Dave Vance. Dave is a great way to start off the work week with his Veterans Insight and most informative guest to bring you another great show to listen to on Mondays at 8 p.m. Eastern, 7 Central. Tuesdays, we have two shows, A Just Cause with Sam Thurman and Cliff Stewart. There's nothing more outrageous to an American to find out about an innocent being convicted of a crime they didn't commit. These two give you an insight into the dark side of our judicial system at 8 p.m. Eastern, 7 Central. Also on Tuesdays is a Grit and Grace radio show with Jennifer Meadows. She has been carrying the conservative message on the net for years now, and she's here on ConservativeNationMedia.com on Tuesdays after A Just Cause at 10 p.m. Eastern, 9 Central. On Wednesday this year, which is Christmas Day, our show with Duke Brooks, Radio Free America, will not be heard in observance of Christmas, as we are all spending time with our families. But you can listen to our second annual Christmas program with great music from the past era and great moments from the Mercury Theater and other highlights of the day, The Shadow Knows. This will be a great broadcast for the whole family. On Thursday is the Liberty and Constitution Community with Matthew Opalisky. His expertise on the Constitution will give you great information to continue the fight for this country on the war that is being waged against us. It airs on Thursdays at 8 p.m. Eastern, 7 Central. And Fridays we have Daily Roll Call with Kathy Henners, a retired law enforcement officer who served her community in New York State for years and now serves America by keeping a watchful eye out for troublemakers in this nation and the world, like Muslim Brotherhood. That is Fridays at 8 p.m. Eastern, 7 Central. Sadly, I was not feeling well yesterday and missed this show, and I will be listening to it later tonight in the archives, something that is great about CNN. You miss a show, and you can still listen to it in the archives. Saturday, you are treated with my show, the New Wise Conservatism Radio Show, with yours truly, the Infidel, with the voice of reason in this unreasonable world from behind the silver CNN microphone of freedom. All this on conservativenationmedia.com, where America always wins. Always. And we here at conservativenationmedia.com and the New Wise Conservatism Radio Show want to wish each and every one of you out there a very Merry Christmas New Year. May God grant us with the knowledge to know when things are bad and what we need to do to correct them. Help us to keep this nation and our people safe from our enemies, foreign and domestic. Here's hoping that this coming year of 2014 will be great for all Americans in the world, too, as we move closer to the time when we can go to the polls and help change the direction our leadership is heading us towards. In the name of God's Son, Jesus Christ, who is the reason for the season, no matter what the liberals and the atheists say. Thank you for listening, my friends. God bless you, and God bless America. Until then, the next show, God bless us all. Have a great night. Merry Christmas and God bless you all.